Today, I have a conversation with Amy L. on transitions. It's peculiar that we chose this topic because we met each other at a transitional point of our lives. It seems like it's idyllic to say that it was during a writing retreat in the south of France on this beautiful lake. And at the same time, I can share that it was not an idyllic situation at all. And yet together we were playful, insightful, and challenging with one another. And that is something that all transitional seasons need in order to thrive. I know that you'll enjoy some of our conversations and you'll hear an aha I have at the end that has been in my heart since the time that we had our podcast. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Executive Shaman Podcast, where Dr. Crystal White and her comrades guide us to bring more wholeness, energy, and connectivity to our professions. We're ready, Crystal. Get us started.
Amy L., hi.
Hi, Crystal.
Welcome. Welcome to the Executive Shaman Podcast. I love having you here. And I always start each episode by asking guests, what do you really do for a living?
What do I really do for a living? I am a trained clairvoyant intuitive. And I'm a teacher of spiritual tools and concepts, and I travel the world.
Great. Why did you say yes to doing this podcast?
Crystal, it's you. How could I say no to you? It's you carry a really alive conversation wherever you go. And I love alive conversations and I love being engaged. And so when you asked, it was just very clear that you are holding an engaged and alive conversation. And I wanted to be a part of that.
Thank you. Just yesterday, somebody was saying, oh my gosh, Crystal, executive shaman, what is that about? And I said, well, I love that you're asking, what is that about? And it's provocative and you want to know a little bit more, or maybe you don't. Like if you're like, that just stuff isn't for me, then that's fine. But I absolutely know that in this work of developing conscious leaders, people who are alive, awake, questioning, connecting to things, that we must be engaged. And I am really happy to talk about transitions with you and what it's like to feel not just disengaged, but like disidentified with yourself and a place perhaps, or a reality that you're experiencing. And I say that because this whole executive shaman thing is a transition for me and I need all the support that I can get around it. So tell me, what is it about transitions that resonates with you right now?
First of all, I want to say that I'm really honored to be a part of this process with you, this uncomfortable process. I just feel really honored, so thank you. And it's so ironic that this is the subject, because if there is one thing that has been most uncomfortable in my life, it's been transitions. So when I asked you earlier, couldn't we talk about being a superpower, or can I tell you what I want to be as an animal? That was a distractive thought. So transitions for me are what I call being in the corridor. It's like there's a door that is closing and there's a door that's about to open, and the transition is the corridor. And what I realize is that we're not really taught in our culture how to be in the corridor, how to take care of ourselves when we're in a place that isn't very clear where we're, you know, where we're heading. And so so it's really about, for me, self-care in those places, in those moments of I'm not quite there yet, but I know I'm heading there, and needing extra self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, when you are in a place of transitioning, like there's something ending and there's something new ahead that's beginning. And in the middle, almost always we're vulnerable. Or I also like the word exposed. I think that exposed works a little bit more in the terms of masculine energy. And always, it's always like, who am I? Do I really want to go there? Can't I just go back to the way things were? And the way things were could be decades of the way things were. It could be a week of the way things were, like what happens on Sunday evening when on Monday you have to go into work. Or it could be like the things I wish they were, right? So it's always this period of discomfort.
Yeah.
And it's really important for people to know this is not necessarily external change. Transition is internal transformation. And we know people who have had external changes that have not transitioned, see, like puberty, but they still act like they're 8 years old, or or adulthood, and they still act like they're a teenager, or people get divorced and they are still internally married to the person or haven't let go of whatever that's at. Share something that you transitioned from and what helped you in the process to get where you are now.
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. Thank you. So one of the things that I've been, I sort of have to do a little bit of a backdrop and then I'll drop into the actual thing. But one of the main things that I've been working on in my life is transitioning out of cultural paradigms and what I should be doing and versus what my soul guides me to do. And it's been a really deep conversation that I've been having for many years, and it just keeps getting more and more, you know, interesting and deep around that living question. And so I took, you know, and it's manifested in many different ways, validating my soul and stepping out of the shoulds or the cultural expectation. And so I feel like I made one of my biggest leaps about 9 months ago when I put everything in storage and released my home and said goodbye to my community in Vermont and got on the road and only had 3 weeks of what I thought would be a year-long journey. And it was living into that question every day, what is my soul desire? Where am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be with? And yeah, so that was a big internal shift. Yeah.
It's almost like that you transition away from living according to some other pre-programmed rule manual and you disconnected from that in order to reconnect in with your own North Star.
Beautifully put. Absolutely. And I live into that every day.
Yeah. And it's a messy, nonlinear, impractical, illogical process.
Why, thank you, it is.
So for organizations, they almost always get to a point in their work with me where we're in that zone of like the wilderness, bewildered, like what WTF is happening, you know, and they're looking at me oftentimes like, why are you doing this the way that you're doing it? And part is for me to provide an experience that mirrors all other transitions or change processes that we encounter. And the second is just to determine what are our automatic reactions during these seasons. Mm. And I've got multiple tools to put people very quickly in this stage of transition. But the most important thing is for us to adopt the bewilderment that occurs. Because if we don't tolerate the dismantling of that stuff, then we never truly transition. And part of it is just admitting that things are no longer working for us. I mean, I know this is a big jump, but that is the number one reason why people pray. Like prayer, help is why we pray. That's the number one reason. And so it's helpful for us to remember that transitions must be about endings just as much as they are about beginnings. We must allow ourselves to go through the muck, to be in the shit together, and to oftentimes go out into the wilderness by ourselves to really figure out what belongs to me and what have I been carrying around that I borrowed or I stole or never should have been mine and I need to let go. So that's something how I use this in my work with teams or organizations, sometimes with private clients or friends, but share something that you use with your clients that helps them during this season.
Yeah. So one of the things that I work with my clients all the time is that there is your soul and then there's all the programming, all the shoulds, all the ways in which their family and culture has taught them to be. And yet their soul is yearning for change because soul is all about change. I mean, that's the energetic of spirit or soul is change. So really what we're talking about is what I call body-spirit communication. Our spirits are all about, let's evolve. And the body is like, what the fuck? Didn't we just do that last week? Like,
what the heck is this coming up again?
Why is
this pain in my knee? This cellulite on my ass.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, I have to eat again?
Exactly. Exactly. So the soul is always going to change. And so what I help my clients with in transition is it's really about talking to the body. It's about telling the body. Imagine you have little kids and you're going on a road trip. It's good to lay out where we're going and when we're eating. And, you know, when we get there, we're going to take a nap. And so if we treat our bodies like children and we let them know, yeah, we are going through this big transition. We need to do that because our soul wants to evolve. Then we're going to give you a nap. We're going to make sure you have a nice dinner tonight. We're going to make sure you get good. So the transition points are really a way to just talk to the body in a kind, loving, gentle way and let them know that it's okay. It's okay to change.
And it's okay to have a process that slows things down and maps it out, right? Like you have to slow down in order to get to where you need to go. If it's going to have an internal transition. If you don't want an internal transition and you just want some external change, oh, we can do that at any time. I can color my hair.
Yeah.
I can do a new diet, which, you know, I always try to escape internal transitions. This is my cue. By doing something external. And one time I had a significant external change at work and I felt my ego being challenged and I didn't have the ability to do what I wanted to do or something like that. And then I was going through a breakup and it was pretty messy. And of course I dyed my hair fire engine red. Not just like, I'm talking like run, love, run red. My colleague at the time when we're working in organizational development, workforce engagement, I was meeting with a new client that was just pretending like, you know, it was normal to sit with a doctor with fire engine red hair, which is not in a military organization. He was just, you know, thinking that this was normal, Crystal. And my colleague comes in and walks in the door and was like, what the hell is going on with you? Like, this is an indication of a problem. And it really was. And so I think that I've always trying to just manage external stuff in order to escape what my soul or what you would say soul wants or is really yearning for. And if I allow that to happen, then I almost always eject a true growth process.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I mean, we can always color paint the walls a different color, but if there's mold underneath, you're just coloring over mold.
Right.
So, you know, true change is about allowing for the transition to happen, you know, allowing to go internally and to shift, to get out of old thoughts or old patterns in order to shift into the new reality. You know, obviously there's lots of exercises you can do, but one has to be willing to be like, okay, I'm willing to abandon my old thought for a better thought so that my reality changes.
Yeah. Or I'm willing to abandon a old physical structure in order to adopt a new one. And I can tell you if you want to true internal transition and transformation must include physical action. It will be manifested at a physical level. Like if you're out there listening, just thinking like, oh, I can just change my thoughts and I can meditate. away whatever something is, or I can just sleep, or all I need to do is, you know, whatever. It just to understand that it requires an action. The thought requires an expression. The feeling demands some type of articulation at the physical level. And so just changing your physical habits can oftentimes, you know, provoke internal growth. Like they are the manifestation of growth, just like a bloom blossoming in a garden, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example using my trip, going on my trip as a physical, like as the internal and the external aligning. So I wanted to practice a deeper surrender to my spirit guiding me. Well, there is nothing more surrendering on a physical level when you're like having to figure out bus schedules in Swedish. Mm-hmm. Or getting on trains in the Netherlands, or, you know, wherever it is that when you're that's an alignment of like, I'm gonna, you know, move to the, I'm gonna stay here for 3 weeks, and I'm gonna be there for 2 weeks, then I'm gonna be there for a mm-hmm. week. So I'm being guided internally, but then I'm having to physically or externally make that manifest, and it's in mm-hmm. very much in present time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And you decided to have a very fast physical change in order to catalyze what internal transition is happening. This is why retreats work. This is why, you know, going on vacation and all of a sudden you and your sweetheart are like, wow, you know, this is amazing. We actually have an okay relationship. It's because you're doing something different than your physical norm. And that will guide you to internally question, to open your aperture of perception, hopefully, and to maybe play a little bit with, do I like this? Can I have more of this? It's just the willingness to say change is always possible. And I can change things if I want to, not just outside, but inside.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point, because sometimes like it's the willingness to change. And sometimes if we do an external change, it trips our routines. Mm-hmm. So it's like a tripwire to get us out of a particular, I mean, humans are just so easily, we just so easily have habits and rituals and mm-hmm. routines. Mm-hmm. And in order to trip it, sometimes we have to put ourselves in an external situation, like a retreat or a conference or going on a, you know, pilgrimage to trip.
Or hiring somebody.
Yeah, or hiring right. someone to be your mentor and to like say, "Hey, I'm watching you. I'm like tracking your thoughts."
Right.
You know, whatever. So it's a both and, right? It's both being willing internally to shift, and it's willing to take some risks externally to shake it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know it just sounds like we might have contradicted ourselves, but the real power here is twofold. One, where do you change something externally, unconsciously, hoping that the inside is going to be better, when it's just kind of noise or just kind of an automatic reaction and you're not really truly willing to, you know, it's escapism? And when are you making an external change that's aligned with where and who you want to be internally? And so don't fool yourself. Like that's, yeah. I fool myself all the time. And what we see on the surface has multiple layers underneath, and you can be doing the exact same thing, but the motivations under are going to lead to absolute different results. One is stagnation, status quo, escaping and not truly growing. And the other is really transitioning to someplace new.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating in my own life. It's a blessing to be able to work and guide people through that process at a professional level. And it is an honor to do it at the personal level as well. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's beautiful. I mean, I'll just kind of harken back to something you said earlier, is that when we actually slow down enough, we can track that difference that you just said. When you can slow down and be aware of, is this just a false move, or am I really actually in alignment? We don't know that unless we slow ourselves down to be aware enough.
Yeah. And often we don't know that because we don't have best friends who can point out, you are dating the exact same guy, Crystal. you are, one time I was like, I'm not addicted to running anymore. I take rest days. And they're like, BS, like you, right? And I love that. I love the fact that it's so easy to deceive ourselves and to miss really what we're aching for. And that's one of the reasons why I have so many different voices here on the Executive Shaman podcast, because healing and change and growth and learning are so diversified that I want people to optimize different voices that they can cling to. So share one more message that you think would be helpful for us to hear in our community, our tribes.
Aw, thank you. Well, let's see. I think not fearing the transition. Yeah, I think that there's a way in which we've been taught that we're just supposed to be in one season and then leap into another, and that the in-between place can actually be a really fertile growth place. And that when we slow down and recognize, wow, I'm transitioning out of a marriage, or I'm transitioning out of a certain workplace, or I'm transitioning from having a home to not having a home and being on the road. When we acknowledge that we're going from one season to the next, I would say giving really kind, loving space to the transition points, and to do extra self-care, to be even more kind in the recognition that one is abandoning an old way of being and stepping into a hopefully a healthier and more expansive place. But in the in-between, we often want to skip over the in-between, you know, because we live in a culture that's very fast. And I think if we can just use the in-between as a place of knowingness and self-healing, then that too is a season.
You know, sometimes what I really do for a living is to take the leverage that the commander or CEO or the leader of the team has afforded me and create in between spaces and places for people. And thank you. I didn't know I did that until I heard you say it. I mean, I can say I create white space, but that is not as powerful as I create a opportunity for this in-between area.
Yeah, and you're so good at it. I mean, you hold space for the in-between, and the thing that the people most fear, you're there holding space for them to walk through it. We both do that. That's what we both do, actually. Yeah. And it's sacred and powerful.
Yeah. Well, thank you, dear one. It's been an honor to just hear and listen and speak with you and cross many different thresholds together and cheer you on and push you over some myself.
Thank you. It's an honor as well, Crystal.
Hey, till next time.
Okay.